Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being the God who loves us. And Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we look at your Son and his time here on earth, that you would show yourself to us through Jesus as the great and mighty I Am. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. When Moses was about to go liberate Israel from Egypt, he asked Jehovah, he asked God, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God said, "I am. Tell them I am has sent you." And from that point on, God presented himself as the ever-present existing one, the one who came in and liberated. I want you to remember, he's I Am in the context of liberating the slaves and putting them into freedom. Taking them out of the slavery of Egypt and making them free people, free to serve the God in whose presence are pleasures forevermore and fullness of joy. And so now Jesus, the Son of God, has come down to earth. And in chapter 8, actually throughout the book of John, but it concentrates in chapter 8, he starts using a new way of referring to himself. Now, it's not really clear in the English, because a lot of times the English translators put he after it. I am he. But the Greek just says, ego eimi, I am. And chapter 8, we're going to look at Jesus as the I Am. And the I Am does the same thing in chapter 8 of John as he did back in Exodus. In Exodus, he took the slaves. He was that Passover lamb. He took the slaves, and through a sacrifice of blood, he freed them. He guided them through the wilderness, and he took them into the promised land. That's the I Am. And in John, we see the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And in chapter 8, he starts presenting himself in a concentrated way as the I Am, the one who is here to free you and me. And he frees us the same way. He's going to, as we'll see in this chapter, die on a cross, shed his blood for our sins, and the same plan that God used in Egypt is the same plan he's going to use today. Now, he had just saved the adulterous woman from being stoned in chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. And he was in the temple. That was the area. And so as we look in John chapter 8, we'll start seeing some of the I Am statements that he makes. And he starts right after the passage of the adulterous woman. It says in verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them. Remember, he's there in the temple. The lady is still there. The people have dropped their stones, and she's been freed. The darkness that these Pharisees tried to do by coming and accusing her without bringing the man and trying to trap Jesus, Jesus brought it to light, showed it for what it was, simple hypocrisy. And now he goes on in verse 12 and he says the first I Am. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And again, he uses this phrase. Now, the normal way of saying it in Greek would be just eimi. They wouldn't use an I. It's sort of like I'm. Like you do in Spanish also, you know, soy. But Jesus put the I in front of it because he's making a statement, as we see at the end of the chapter when he says, before Abraham was, I am. He's making a statement not just about the things he is, but who he is in these things. This is the God of light who will shine in the darkness and expose you and expose me when we're hypocrites. And that's a scary thing, isn't it? You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about the Word of God and that that's how it is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts to the between joints and marrow and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then in verse 13, it says, we're naked before Him to who we with whom we have to do. You know, when you come before God and I come before God, there's nothing hidden. He's the light. And He's already said in John chapter 3 that we don't like light. Men don't like light. Because our deeds are evil. But if you want to follow Christ, you have to come into the light. Now, it's a shameful thing sometimes. It's a scary thing sometimes. Because He will open you to show you things that you don't want to see about yourself. That I don't want to see about myself. Just like those Pharisees. They came in there all self-righteous. She was caught in the very act. She should be stoned. And Jesus turned the light and said, okay, stoner, but whoever doesn't have sin, throw the first one. And all of a sudden, they all looked at themselves and said, I can't do that. It's a scary thing, but it's a necessary thing. As we become visible in the light of the world, He says later in this same chapter, down in verse 31, He says what the consequences are. He said to those who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One of the reasons we don't study our Bibles is not just laziness. It's because sometimes we don't want to see ourselves there. Remember what James said about the Bible? He says it's like looking at your face in a mirror. You see who you are. I see who I am. And it's one of the things that makes us put down our Bibles and read them very superficially. Because, see, the Bible is not about Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Jonah. The Bible is about Tom Whitehouse and how God sees him and what God wants from him. And He's going to light up what's in me. And I have to be strong and of good courage to look at myself and say, yeah, that's what I am. And if you're a true follower, a true disciple, you will remain, you will be at home in, what it says here, His Word. Now you can go to heaven without being that. You simply put your faith in Jesus Christ. But if you want to grow, you'll go in the Word and you'll say this. You'll say, God, Jesus, be the light. Show me me. Because in the end, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. Now the truth has a capital T in one part of it. He says later on in John 14:6, He says, I am, and it's another one of these I am statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And one of the ways we know the truth is we see Jesus and then we compare Him to us and we say, that's what I'm supposed to be. This is what I am. And that's sort of freeing because now you don't have to hide. You know what the path is. The Holy Spirit is there to give you victory. But Jesus is the light of the world. And then it's interesting, isn't it, how in the Sermon on the Mount He turns it around and He says, you are the light of the world. But see, Jesus is like the sun. The sun makes its own light. You and I, we're like the moon. Do you know when you're at night and the moon's out, you're not seeing, you say, oh, isn't the moonlight pretty tonight? There is no such thing as moonlight. What is moonlight? It's reflected sunlight. That's light from the sun that you see and how beautiful it is. You and I are moonlight when we reflect the light of the sun. Know the truth that sets you free. The second I am the one who bears witness of himself. John 8:18. It says, I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. And they said to him, where is your Father? And he answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would have known my Father also. Now, they were confused again, as usual. Remember, John talks about how confusing the dark is. When he talked about his Father, what do you think they were thinking? They're thinking, his Father? He doesn't even know who his Father is. We know Mary's his mother. We know Joseph was his stepfather. But we know that Joseph wasn't his father. There was all sorts of rumors going around. In fact, later on, when he tells them in John chapter 8, he says, you're of your father, the devil. He says, because they had already said, our father is Abraham. We know our father. Who are you from? Some Roman soldier or something. No, he says, I bear witness of my heavenly Father. And my Father witnessed. Now, how did his Father corroborate his witness? Miracles. Jesus healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, cast out demons, fed the 15,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, calmed the sea. I love when we were going through the miracles of Christ during this evening services and how wonderful those things that the Lord did. He didn't do those of his human own Jesus power. He did those through the power of his Father. His Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What a wonderful thing it is for Jesus to be able to say, my Father and I, we always agree. Now, what does this tell me as we're going through these I Ams? It tells me one thing. It tells me that when Moses went into Egypt, who was it that was with him? Now, we know it's Jehovah. But who was it really that was with him? It wasn't the Father, or not only. It was Jesus. And Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, when they were going through the wilderness, they were followed by a rock, and that rock was Christ. When Moses was going through the wilderness with the children of Israel, the I Am that followed them was the same Jesus that died on the cross for you and me. Sent by his Father to redeem his people. He's corroborated by his Father, and he shows what his Father is like. Even before he took on human form, when he came down and he led the children of Israel through the wilderness, it wasn't the Father directly leading them. It was Christ with them, and he was showing them what the Father is like. Jesus shows what God the Father is like. Even in heaven, we'll see the Lamb upon the throne. What a wonderful thing to know that Jesus will see face to face. What a great thing it is. So he shows what his Father is like. He says in verse 19, you know neither me nor the Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. This is why when people say, okay, the Muslims worship the same God as Christians do. No. Because the God that Christians worship is the God of Jesus Christ. And the way we know God is through what Jesus does. Then he goes on and makes another I am statement. He says, I am from above. John 8, 23. He said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. So he makes a distinction. Now, he's as human as you and me. As regards to his body, it had the same kind of DNA. It had the same kind of birth process and growth process and learning and everything else that it means to be human. Like Hebrews says in chapter 4:15, he was tested in all ways just as we are, but he never sinned. He was as human as you and as human as I am. But on the other hand, his origin is different. Like he said in John chapter 3, no one has seen the Father but he who came down from heaven, who is what? Still in that point in heaven. Jesus, even in a body, was still in front of the presence of God. In his origin, he's different. In one way, in his body, in his humanity, he's as human as you and me, but in his where he comes from, you and I did not come from heaven. Now, the Mormons teach we did. The Mormons teach that all of us were pre-existent souls and then we were put in a body. But this says, no, we came from the world. Jesus came from heaven. But not only his origin, when we're talking about the world, we're talking about how we look at things. He says, I am not of this world. Now, he was of the earth regarding his body, but he was not of the world. What is the world? The world is that system which centers on self. How we look at the world, me in the middle. The lust of the flesh and the lust of my eyes and the pride of life, that's the key. He says, I'm not from that. He says, my whole goal is to glorify my Father and to die for you. I look at things differently. I look at things from above. I live with you, I'm tried like you, I'm tested like you, I'm betrayed like you, all these things that you go through, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm tired, but I don't think of me. I think of God the Father, and I think of you. And I do what I do for that. I'm from above. I don't exist in this worldly way of thinking. And then he goes to the center of the issue. Verse 24. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, and that he shouldn't be there. In the New King James, it's in italics. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. You have to believe who Jesus is. And here he tells you who he is. Jews, you who have followed the I am out of Egypt into the promised land, who have had that I am lead you for all these centuries through captivities, through famines, through victories and defeats. You have said all these centuries, we follow I am. He's saying, if you don't believe that I am, you die in your sins. That God that you said you follow, whose temple stands there, this is me, Jesus is saying. And if you reject me, you don't know my Father. And it's the same today. See, this is where so many people, they want Jesus to be a good teacher. They want Jesus to be even a savior. They want him to be like the Jehovah's Witnesses, say, a God. And they build their huge systems. The Muslims believe in Jesus. A sinless Jesus even. Something they don't even preach about Muhammad. They believe in the Quran that Jesus is sinless. But they don't believe that He's I Am. And they die in their sins. This is the crux of the matter. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, John says, the same author says in 1 John, you're Antichrist. So the message that we have as Christians is God has come down. The I Am who delivered Israel from Egypt has come down, presented Himself as a person, said, I am. And if you don't believe that, the rest of it doesn't matter. And he goes on and he says, why? He talks about his weakness in the cross. In verse 28, we'll go on from 24. Then they said to him, verse 25, who are you? And I always remember the Alice in Wonderland cartoon. Who are you? A little caterpillar on his mushroom. And they're all going, who are you? And he tells them, just what I've been saying, verse 25, from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world these things which I heard from him. They did not understand. He spoke to them of the Father. Verse 28, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. And I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Now, when he talks about lifting up the Son of Man, what's he talking about? He's talking about putting him on a stick, nailing his arms on that stick, and lifting him up. He says it in John chapter 12, and jamming that stick into the ground and watching him die. And he said, when you do that, not if you do that. He knew they were going to do that. He said, when you do that, you will know. You will know that I am. And remember what happened when he hung there on that cross. Weak, dying like a common criminal. And he died. And one of the Roman soldiers said, surely, this is the Son of God. And in the temple of Jerusalem, the veil that opened the place to the Holy of Holies was grabbed by unseen hands and ripped from top to bottom. And entrance was given into God's holy place. And then Jesus rose from the dead. And everyone who had an eye and everyone who had an ear and everyone whose heart would listen could tell that this was in his weakest moment. This was the I Am. He says, when you lift me up, things are going to happen that are going to let people know. And see, Judaism is God's old covenant. And it's considered one of the major world religions. But it's small, isn't it? Compared to the number of Hindus, compared to the number of Muslims, compared to the number of Buddhists, the number of Christians, the number of all these other religions, how many Jews are there? It's very small. Because it's a beginning. And we are the people of God that flowed from that. When those Jews after that crucifixion and resurrection, and he manifests himself to 5,000, and then they go out and spread the news. And that faith, see, we are the inheritors of that. The people who saw the weakness of the cross and said, that is Yahweh on that cross. That is Yahweh redeeming his people on that cross. And could look past the wood and the dying human flesh and see the power of the resurrection and the ripping of the veil and the opening of the Holy of Holies to all of us and the entrance of the Holy Spirit into people's hearts. He says, you'll know that I am when you lift me up. Because only the strongest can be powerful at the weakest moment. There's no weaker moment for a human being than the cross. You're hung on a beam with nails through your hands and your feet, and you have to voluntarily struggle to take each breath as the life leaves you. And with that, he changed the universe. And only the I Am can do that. But they wouldn't accept it. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they made fun of him. They mocked him. They said, were you there when Abraham was there? The Jews said to him in verse 57, you're not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? What kind of crazy stuff is this? You're a young whippersnapper. Not even 50 yet. And you say you've seen Abraham. And he answers them in verse 58. Most assuredly, verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, not I was, I am. He's the ever-present one. Jesus did not live in the past. To Jesus, it's all present. He's as present to Abraham as he is to you, as he is to me. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, Jesus isn't bound by time and space, even though he's in a body. This is why nothing catches him by surprise. Your trials tomorrow are as present to Jesus as what you're going through now. He knows them not. We speak of it as foreknowledge. He doesn't foreknow anything. He just knows it. From the beginning to the end, he looks on the whole thing and is equally there at all times present. And nothing happens that he's not in 100% control of. What a comfort that is for us. When Abraham went and he was going to sacrifice his son, Jesus was present as Jehovah Jireh. And he provided the lamb. Can you imagine what the coincidences are for that lamb to be stuck there at that time? Just the lamb wasn't there before. He's getting ready to pull this knife and this animal gets stuck in the thicket. It had to come along right there. What happened to that animal in the morning? He says, I think I'm going to go that way today. And how often do animals like that get stuck in a thicket? God had told Abraham The I Am had told Abraham 3 days before, go. And every step was present and known. And he was Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provides. And he's that for you today. He's the I Am. That's why we don't have to worry. That's why we don't have to be depressed. That's why we don't have to wander around wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. Because that tomorrow is already there for our Lord. The things he's planned for him are already accomplished. We just need to walk in them and be at peace. This is the God of the gospel. What a marvelous, amazing, stimulating, powerful God he is. The question I have for you is, do you believe that he is the I Am? That I Am is there for you in every moment to be Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha and the Lord who redeems. And the Lord is your shepherd. He is, and that's why we sang today, he is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being the God that heals us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to always trust in the I Am, who is the light and the witness of his Father and shows us what his Father is like. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.